Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston, in-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training that is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hello, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, and we're going through our series on the Kingdom of God, and we've been looking at the throne of God that's right in the middle of the kingdom, the court at the center of the Kingdom of God, God's great heavenly throne. And before we get into today's passages, let's pray. Father in heaven, you are glorious, you are great, you sit upon the throne and you hear our prayers. And our prayer now is to understand more of you, more of heaven, and more of your kingdom. We ask that your grace and peace will be upon me, and your anointing will be upon me as I speak and as this radio program goes forth. And I ask that you will bless everyone that hears the word of this program. In Jesus' name, amen. And the first passage we're going to be looking at today about the throne of God, and the topic today is the saints' throne. The throne of God and how that throne benefits believers and how we can go before God's throne, how it's a throne of protection, how it's a throne of help, how it's a throne of grace in time of need, and how we will be dwelling in all eternity around that glorious throne in heaven. For our God is a King of kings and our God is a Lord of lords. Let's look at Revelation chapter 7 verses 9 to 17. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. After these things I looked, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, out of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, sitting on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures. And they fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these who are arrayed in white robes, and from where do they come? And I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and have whitened them in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he, sitting on his throne, will dwell among them. They will not hunger any more, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will feed them, and will lead them to the fountains of living waters, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. So here are the people that have been through persecution. These are the persecuted saints from the earth. Depends on how you view the Great Tribulation, but it's definitely a time of persecution. And the saints have gone through many persecutions in the last 2,000 years. The great tribulations of Nero and Diocletian and of the Roman Empire and of all the people that have thrown Christians in jail, the Muslims today that do that in certain parts of the world, the communists that do it in other parts of the world, Christians are hated and persecuted. And there'll be a time, a great tribulation at the end of the age, when all the Christians in the world will be terribly persecuted by someone called the Antichrist. And so there'll be a time when it is very, very difficult to be a Christian. When Christians are hated, they're slaughtered, they lose all their possessions, they cannot buy, they cannot sell. And they will still be loyal to God, and their loyalty will be rewarded. And they will stand before the throne in white, and they will have glory in heaven forever and ever. And they will have no more pain, and every tear will be wiped away from their eyes. The throne for them will be a place of refuge, but the throne for the wicked will be a place of judgment. The throne of God can be many things to many people, depending on the character of the people involved. The throne can be a great joy, and people bow down and worship and celebrate, and it's festive and it's wonderful, and they're having a great time, and they're throwing their palm branches around. They're not compelled. They are just full of the joy of the Lord. But other people on the side of the throne of God, when they see that throne appearing in the sky, when they see God manifesting, when they see God coming forth, they are going to be terrified. So what does the throne of God mean to you? Does the throne of God scare you with judgment and terror? Or do you ignore it as something you think is a fable, pie in the sky when you die? Or is the throne of God your joy and your refuge? For Jesus is your Savior and your Lord, and you've put your trust in God. So these people have trusted God through the tough times, the up times and the down times of life. They have been through a great tribulation, a great time of torment and pressure when the devil was running around on the earth doing false signs, leading people astray, crushing the church and squashing everything. And yet they persevered. They persevered in their love of God. And you have to persevere in your love of God. As your churches may be shut down or may be opening up again, you need to persevere in your love of the Lord. Do not give up. Do not become faint-hearted. Do not go back to tribal ways or ways of revenge or ways of darkness. Do not go back to drugs or to alcohol or to relationships that you know are wrong. You must come through the tribulations that you experience in your own life, and you must have a pure heart before God, and you must obey the commandments of Jesus Christ. And if you do that and you walk holy before God, you're going to have great joy when you get to heaven and you see that throne, because you know it's going to be your reward. You won't hunger anymore. You won't thirst anymore. The sun will not beat down on you harshly anymore. The Lamb in the midst of the throne will feed you and guide you to the springs of living spiritual water, and you'll be more alive than you've ever been in your life. You'll be rejoicing in the power of God. Now, in the next chapter of Revelation, Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 to 5, we see our prayers coming into the kingdom of God before the throne of God. Revelation chapter 8, 3 to 5, if you've got your Bible before you. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And many incenses were given to him so that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God from the angel's hand. The angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and cast it to the earth, and voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake occurred. So what we find is this is the altar. This is like a bench. It's made of gold. It's beautiful gold, and it's hot. It's like a stovetop. That's why it's an altar. It's hot. And the incense and the prayers of the saints are put on this, and they go woof, like a puff of smoke. And so all our prayers are put in golden bowls. They're mixed with incense, and they're put before the throne of God. And fire from the altar, because the fire is under the altar, it's heating up this gold sheet, which is perfectly hot. The prayers are put on it, and whoosh, up they go. This altar is the altar of incense, the altar of prayers before the throne of God. And these prayers of the saints are taken seriously. And when they're cast down to earth, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, God wants things to happen on earth as a result of our prayers. Our prayers go up to heaven, and then things are done on earth. Well, what happens on earth? And the angel took the censer. That's the thing containing the incense. It's like a thing that swings back and forth. It's like a metal plate with little chains on it, and it swings back and forth, and it contains the incense and the prayers, and filled it with fire from the altar and cast it to the earth, and voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake occurred. These are powerful prayers. The prayers that come before the throne of God are powerful prayers. Your prayers matter. They are being mixed with incense, and they are being put before the throne of God, and angels take your prayers. They take them seriously. They're taken custody of by angels. Angels are picking up your prayers and they're mixing them with the incense. They're presenting them to God, and the angels themselves see these prayers and petitions and bring them before the heavenly throne. And we know that Jesus hears our prayers directly. He is our high priest, and we can come to the throne of grace for help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Now, Revelation 14, same book, chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. Revelation 14, 1 to 5. And I looked, and lo, the Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song, before the throne, and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are those who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men as first fruit to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without blemish before the throne of God. Now, just a little thing there about these people being virgins and not defiled with women. Nothing wrong with women. And most commentators think that this is talking about spiritual adultery. They haven't gone after idols. They haven't gone after false religions. And symbolically speaking, these were the female deities of that age, like Aphrodite and Venus and the Queen of Heaven, those kinds of things. They haven't gone after the female deities of the age. That is what many commentators think. So the Bible is certainly not against women. But they are very loyal to Jesus. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They are extremely obedient people. They're the first fruits to God. They're the most obedient of all the believers throughout all the ages. These people have raised up their heads to God. They have been above and beyond the other believers, and now God has given them a special role. And they, in their mouth was found no guile, for they were out without blemish before the throne of God. These are people who are truthful, who are true, have a spirit of excellence. They are exceptional people, and they are before the throne of God. They're given special honor. And if you are spiritually pure, if you have consecrated yourself to God, as these people did, if you are fully consecrated to God, God will honor you. If you honor God, then God will honor you. And your consecration is important. No matter how you interpret this passage, it says consecration is important. You need to be fully dedicated to God. You need to be wholly honed in on the Lord, not being distracted this way or that. So don't be distracted off by the things of this world. Be consecrated unto the Lord. Be holy, be prayerful, be someone special in the Spirit, and not like those who take Christianity and the gospel on Sunday and the world on Monday. Don't be like that. Be focused on Jesus all the time. Be one of God's holy people. For consecration is a very important part of the Christian life. Now we go to Revelation chapter 19 and verses 1 to 8. Revelation 19. And after these things, I heard a great sound of a numerous crowd in heaven, saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great harlot who defiled the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged the blood of his servants out of her hand. And secondly, they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God sitting on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all his servants, the ones fearing him, the small and the great. And I heard, as the sound of a great multitude, and as the sound of many waters, and the sound of strong thunders, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and we will give glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, his bride, has prepared herself. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. So here we have the hallelujahs in heaven. The great harlot, the Babylonian world, that harlot that has seduced people into worldliness century after century, the world system as we know it, full of politics and money and greed and immorality and seduction, that world system has been cast down. And all the people slain by the world system, all the people persecuted through by the ages by people who wanted power and couldn't stand the gospel, couldn't stand the rebuke of Christians, the people that have turned against the gospel and turned against the saints and seared their conscience with a hot iron, these people have been cast down, and the smoke of her burning rises up forever and ever. That wicked city of Babylon, that wicked Babylonian system, will burn forever and ever in hell. But the saints of God will be delivered, and they will celebrate her destruction. And because she defiled the earth with her fornication, meaning spiritual fornication, and God avenges the blood of the saints out of her hand. And so all these beings in heaven are saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, for God has finally dealt with the world system, with all the greedy, grubby, corrupt people. God will put an end to corrupt people, and they will burn in hell forever and ever, along with their systems of corruption, their bribery, their trickery, the magic they work, and all else. That will be defeated forever and ever by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that world system has been defeated, God will not be married to the world, but God will be married to the church. The church is the bride of the Lamb, the pure, consecrated believers. That's the bride of the Lamb. And the church will rise up, and it will be pure and holy and full of righteous deeds. Your righteous deeds matter to God. The good things you do, small or great, they matter to God, and God counts them up and he puts them in the book of life, and you will be remembered in heaven because of the righteous things that you have done. They are not forgotten. God does not unjust. He does not forget the good things that his people do. So your righteous deeds are important to God. Next in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 21, verses 5 to 8. Revelation 21, 5 to 8. And he who was sitting on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who thirsts, I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely. He who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars will have their part in the lake burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See, God speaks to him and says, this is John the Apostle. He's in heaven. He's seeing all these visions. He's coming to the end of the book of Revelation now. And God says to him, behold, I make all things new. The throne is a place of new things, not just new things here on earth, but a whole new universe, new heavens, new earth. Evil has got rid of, the world has got rid of, the Babylonian system is gone, corruption is gone, politics is gone. The kingdoms of this world has become the kingdoms of Christ and of his God. And God is now the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and his words are faithful and true. And God now gives of the water of life freely. His Holy Spirit flows throughout creation and flows to all who believe freely. You don't have to purchase it. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to give money to someone for the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit flows freely. But those who have rejected God, rejected the Spirit, pursued unrighteousness, they end up in the lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So you're either born again or you experienced the second death, and that is a terrible thing. So the throne is a throne of renewal. Here the throne renews the whole universe. God speaks from his kingdom and the entire universe is made new. It's refreshed. It's strengthened because the throne is the believer's throne. The throne of God acts on our behalf and he gives us from that throne of the water of life. And today, right now, you can receive the water of life from God for your thirsty soul. Just go and ask God. Go before him and say, Lord, I need the water of life. I need it right now. I need your joy and your peace. Enter into me and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Finally, Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 5. Revelation 22, verses 1 to 5, the healing throne. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of its street and of the river, from here and from there, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each yielding its fruit according to 1 month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And every curse will no longer be, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will serve him. And they will see his face, and his name will be in their foreheads, and there will be no night there, and they need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they will reign forever and ever. So the water of life proceeds out of the throne of God. The throne of God is proceeding, the water of life, it's flowing out, and everything is bearing fruit. It's a place of abundance. It's a place of joy. Continued year-long fruitfulness. Everything is fruitful. There's healing. Everyone is healed. The nations are healed. From the throne comes renewal, comes healing, comes fruitfulness. The time of judgment is over. There's no more people to be judged. They've all been thrown into the lake of fire. By now we have a new heavens and a new earth. And all the damage that was done by the devil and by the world and by wicked people and by kings and people seeking power and cruel people who destroyed the earth, that's all being healed now. And the healing of the nations, the healing of the damaged world is coming forth from the throne of God that is making everything new. And the throne of God and the Lamb are right in the midst of this new heaven and this new earth. The servants are serving him. And it says, and the no more curses. There will be no more curse. The curse is finished. There are no more curses. You cannot be cursed. No witchcraft can prevail against you. The curse is removed from the face of creation. God is not angry with anything anymore. God is pleased with everything he sees in the new heaven and the new earth. It's not like the Garden of Eden, which was quickly cursed because of the fall of Adam and Eve. That can't happen anymore. It's been renewed. This is a new garden in which there cannot be any curse. There cannot be any dying. There cannot be any pain. The original garden is long forgotten. This is a new garden that flows from the throne of God. And God dwells directly in the midst of this river of living water amongst all these fruit trees bearing fruit in this place of tremendous healing of the nations. And his servants serve God with gladness and joy, and they come and forth. There's no whip cracking at all. They're serving God out of a gladness of heart. Hey, we've got a place in the kingdom of God. And it's pure light. No one needs a lamp. No one needs anything to illumine it. Everything is illumined by God. Everything is joyous. Everything is happy. Everything is holy. The throne has now become a place of refuge and life. Life now flows from the throne of God. And coming back to our original theme, that question I asked right at the beginning of this broadcast, what's the throne of God mean to you? Is it life and joy and peace? Does the throne of God mean to you renewal and healing and God's triumph over the wicked nations of the world? Does it mean that? Or does the throne of God scare you? Are you afraid of your sins being found out? Are you afraid of standing before God in judgment day and hearing some terrible words from God and being thrown down to hell? Because if you're afraid of that, you need to come to Jesus for forgiveness. You need to come to Jesus for forgiveness of your sins so you can stand before God pure and holy on the day of judgment. You need Jesus to cleanse out your heart and take away all wickedness, all malice, all hatred, all drugs and all addictions. You need Jesus to take away your guilt. You need to come to God for forgiveness right now so you can be joyful before the throne of God and not terrified by the throne of God. Do not be like the wicked and the worldly. Do not be like those people who will stand before God and be full of terror because they know that their end is nigh, that they will be cast down to the lake of fire with the devil and all his angels. Don't be like that. Don't be among the guilty. Be among the saved. Be among the redeemed who stand around the throne with worshiping God with palm branches in their hand. Be among the people that get forgiven. Go to God and say, Lord, I have sinned. I have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, and my life has not been straight at all. Please forgive me right now. I accept the forgiveness that's available in the cross of Jesus Christ. I repent. I repent before your throne, and I ask your forgiveness. I ask to be born again. I ask to be made new. I ask that you will wash me clean with the blood of the Lamb, that I may be able to stand before the throne of God on the day of judgment. Help me, Lord, because I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to be in glory. I want to be learning the new song. I want to be part of the heavenly choir. I want to be there when the glorious things happen. I want to see prophecy fulfilled. I want to be one of your people, Lord, and I'm prepared to pay the price. I'm prepared to do it. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Wash me clean. Break every curse over my life and my life and my family. Come to me, Lord, now and save my soul. Pray to God right now and cry out to him, because you want to be on the right side of the throne. You want to be among the people that God approves and blesses. So turn away from your wickedness. Turn away from your sins. Throw yourself on God and ask Jesus to save your soul. Ask Jesus right now to save your soul. Go to Jesus for salvation and say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. It's the name of Jesus that saves you. Go and say, Jesus saves me. Jesus saves me. Jesus, reach out and touch people listening to this broadcast. And in your name, Lord Jesus, get them saved so that they can join you in heavenly glory. And this is John Edmiston pleading with you to repent and believe in Jesus right now. I'm signing off from Insights for Eternity. I will see you next week and be one of those who stands before the throne unashamed because of the forgiveness that's available to you in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. That is johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.